Scripture for the day comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to have to watch my tongue on that one. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and 11 to 12. Listen for the word of God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace. It must be the start of a letter from Paul. It's one of the more glowing ones, one of the letters that don't turn so much to loving anger and reproof so much. There's some fire in the letter, sure, some coming judgment talk, but overall a hopeful letter, a letter of encouragement. The Thessalonians wait together. They are shaped by their waiting and by the push on them from outside forces. The last letter, the first letter to the Thessalonians, had them counting times and seasons, eager for Jesus' return, eager to get through their troubles and worried about the people who had died before reaching the final vindication they saw coming. They were anxious in their waiting. They were tired and confused. Encourage each other, he told them then. Build one another up. So now he boasts of them because they seem to have done exactly that, and he sees God clearly working in their church through them. Your faith is growing, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. English doesn't make a distinction anymore between you individually and a group of you. Same word, unless you're in a place where people say y'all. This is a passage full of y'all. Y'all are growing in faith. Y'all's love is increasing. It's a message to the whole church, not just to individuals. So is every person there loving? Is every person there full of faith? Not necessarily. But as a church, something there has been deepening. A church is a network, a complex, not just a group of individuals, but the connections between those people, a system of us. In an individual culture, it can be hard to think that way. Like a series of channels and pipes and waterways of thinking and feeling, that pain and grief flow through from one person to another, fear and tension light up in lines, love and even, yes, faith move from person to person. These things are not simply individual. How often will a person come out of a room with a heated discussion and say, "Why am I so worked up about this? I wasn't this angry or this afraid before. I wasn't this worked up about this before. Maybe this isn't even an issue I thought I cared about, but my voice just got loud as other voices did." When a room swings off balance, that can be threatening. A breakdown between personal integrity and the life of a community can devastate. The currents of thinking and feeling can lash like waves, can be painful. And yet, that connection is part of what keeps our spiritual growth from being only of personal importance, allows us to carry one another's burdens and griefs and joys. God does not save us for ourselves alone. We are committed into one another's care, which is dangerous and crucial and a profound responsibility. It is the source of everyday aggravation and comfort. It is the source of many people's deepest wounds and greatest healing alike. It was much the same in Paul's day. If one member was rejected by their Roman family, that tangles itself into the life of them together. when some had faced death in waiting, when some had been persecuted, that cut into others as well. So Paul speaks to a church under profound stress, with still many fears and griefs flowing through them, one to another. And yet something between them has deepened and grown. Something in all of them together. What it is that has made this difference in the midst of this tremendous responsibility, what it is that has changed them, is given away by the way this celebration of them takes place in prayer. I thank God for it, Paul says, because the task is too great for only human shoulders. God has been at work along all of these channels of human interaction, in failure and success, in the striving of the Thessalonians. This striving leads back there too. Their action for each other grows from the ground of God's love and feeds right back into it, is wrapped into the action of God. In Paul's prayer that their individual acts will in turn be completed, finished, brought to fruition by God, from God and to God and in God, for the purpose of God's glory in us. In these weeks, I have begun the process of knowing Penningtonville as a church, struggled to learn names, and begun to hear the first stories people have shared with me about the past and the present and hopes for the future, about strifes that have been here before and maybe still linger, about acts of love and generosity, about joys and griefs. I have begun to sit in on the meetings where budgets are discussed and plans are made, in gatherings at the park and fellowship hall, at worship, in homes of members. I certainly cannot claim to point to everything that goes on between the people who belong to this church or are attached to it or go about life in the town affected by it. But as I have seen more and more of this church, its people, its connections, I have begun to thank God for the work of the Spirit here, for the holiness amid human frailty and messiness. For human works, I believe, are rooted in God's love, and works which I believe God will be faithful to. I can look out from the window of the manse, even if I lift my head from where I sleep, and see over the top of the playground and the graves and the town, the steeple whitewashed and pointing straight up above them all, like a needle into heaven and anchored in the church below it, signifying that connection. It does not escape me the way this church, more than almost any church I've seen, looks like the church of the children's game. Here is the church, here is the steeple. With folded hands held together, you almost expect to walk into the sanctuary and see fingers hanging from the ceiling when you open the doors to see all the people. This is a church-looking church. And maybe that game is silly. Maybe it comes from no deeper source than someone putting their hands together and seeing the shape and noticing that, hey, steeple and people rhyme. And so spreading your hands to wiggle your fingers makes a good punchline. Perhaps that little rhyme is even a little too focused on the building, the shape. And yet, something about that little game I love is that the way the people here are built into the very architecture of the building, the floorboards and the rafters, the way the fingers are knotted together, latticed to each other, individual and interwoven, and growing from one source in folded hands. That unfolding and turning outward, the wiggle of the fingertips together, hands reaching out. If seeking an image of what it is to be the church, we could do worse. A kind of vision, a concrete sense of what the church is, a lens through which to look at all the details of ordinary life in church, what all of this activity, this bustling around, this logistics means. It can be hard to sustain such a vision in the mundanity of church living, to see the gathering together of believers in the sanctuary as the dwelling place of God, to see a cluster of people in the fellowship hall as channels of the work of God to one another, to see a line of items on a budget sheet as signs of commitment of time and labor and effort into God's hands. Such a vision will often come only in flashes. We can go a long time noticing only the boring details and not the tapestry they fit into. But those flashes do not make the tapestry. They just show what is already being woven by God. The works of God do not depend on our limited vision. And still, I pray that in our work, our love and faith may deepen together, that we may come to see ever more clearly what God is doing. Amen.